Helen and she began to move the dishes to the scullery beyond the door, while Mr. Alderson and I returned to our chairs by the fireside. The little man ushered me to mine with a vague wave of his hand.
Take a seat, young man.
A clattering issued from the kitchen as the washing up began. We were alone. Mr. Alderson's hand strayed automatically towards his farmer and stockbreeder, but he withdrew it after a single, hunted glance in my direction and began to drum his fingers on the arm of the chair, whistling softly under his breath. I groped desperately for an opening gambit, but came up with nothing. The ticking of the clock boomed out into the silence. I was beginning to break out into a sweat when the little man cleared his throat.
Pigs were a good trade on Monday,
he vouchsafed.
They were, eh? Oh, well, that's fine. Jolly good.
Mr. Alderson nodded, fixed his gaze somewhere above my left shoulder, and started drumming his fingers again. Once more, the heavy silence blanketed us, and the clock continued to hammer out its message. After several years, Mr. Alderson stirred in his seat and gave a little cough. I looked at him eagerly.
Store cattle were down, though,
he said.
Oh, too bad. What a pity, I babbled. But that's how it is, I suppose. That's how it goes, eh?
Helen's father shrugged and we settled down again. This time, I knew it was hopeless. My mind was a void and my companion had the defeated look of a man who had shot his conversational bolt. I lay back and studied the hams and sides of bacon hanging from their hooks in the ceiling. Then I worked my way along the row of plates on the big oak dresser to the gaudy calendar from a cattle cake firm, which dangled from a nail on the wall. I took a chance then and stole a glance at Mr. Alderson out of the corner of my eye. And my toes curled as I saw he had chosen that precise moment to have a sideways peep at me. We both looked away hurriedly. By shifting round in my seat and craning my neck, I was able to get a view of the other side of the kitchen, where there was an old-fashioned roll-top desk, surmounted by a wartime picture of Mr. Alderson looking very stern in the uniform of a Yorkshire yeomanry, and I was proceeding along the wall from there when Helen opened the door and came quickly into the room.
"Dad," she said a little breathlessly, "stands here. He says one of the cows is down with staggers."
Her father jumped up in obvious relief. I think he was delighted to have a sick cow, and I too felt like a released prisoner as I hurried out after him. Stan, one of the cowmen, was waiting in the yard.
"She's at top of field, boss. I just spotted her when I went to get them in for milking."
Mr. Alderson looked at me questioningly, and I nodded at him as I opened the car door. "I've got the staff with me," I said. "We'd better drive straight up." The three of us piled in, and I set course to where I could see the stretched-out form of a cow near the wall in the top corner. My bottles and instruments rattled and clattered as we bumped over the rig and furrow. This was something every vet gets used to in early summer. The urgent call to milk cows which have collapsed suddenly a week or two after being turned out to grass. The farmers called it grass staggers, and, as its scientific name of hypomagnesemia implied, it was associated with lowered magnesium level in the blood. An alarming and highly fatal condition, but fortunately curable by injection of magnesium in most cases. Despite the seriousness of the occasion, I couldn't repress a twinge of satisfaction. It had got me out of the house, and it gave me a chance to prove myself by doing something useful. Helen's father and I hadn't established anything like a rapport as yet, but maybe when I gave his unconscious cow my magic injection, and it leapt to its feet and walked away, he might look at me in a different light. And it often happened that way. Some of the cures were really dramatic.
"She's still alive, any road,"
Stan said as we roared over the grass.
"I saw her legs move then."
He was right. But as I pulled up and jumped from the car, I felt a twinge of apprehension. Those legs were moving too much. This was the kind that often died, the convulsive type. The animal, prone on her side, was pedalling frantically at the air with all 4 feet, her head stretched backwards, eyes staring, foam bubbling from her mouth. As I hurriedly unscrewed the cap from the bottle of magnesium lactate, she stopped and went into a long, shuddering spasm, legs stiffly extended, eyes screwed tightly shut. Then she relaxed and lay inert for a frightening few seconds before recommencing the wild thrashing with her legs. My mouth had gone dry. This was a bad one. The strain on the heart during these spasms was enormous, and each one could be her last. I crouched by her side, my needle poised over the milk vein. My usual practice was to inject straight into the bloodstream to achieve the quickest possible effect, but in this case, I hesitated. Any interference with the heart's actions could kill this cow. Best to play safe. I reached over and pushed the needle under the skin of her neck. As the fluid ran in, bulging the subcutaneous tissues, and starting a widening swelling under the roan-coloured hide, the cow went into another spasm. For an agonizing few seconds she lay there, the quivering limbs reaching desperately out at nothing, the eyes disappearing deep down under tight, twisted lids. Helplessly I watched her, my heart thudding, and this time as she came out of the rigor and started to move again, it wasn't with the purposeful pedaling of before. It was an aimless, labored pawing. And as even this grew weaker, her eyes slowly opened and gazed outwards with a vacant stare. I bent and touched the cornea with my finger. There was no response. The farmer and cowman looked at me in silence as the animal gave a final jerk, then lay still. "I'm afraid she's dead, Mr. Alderson," I said. The farmer nodded and his eyes moved slowly over the still form, over the graceful limbs, the fine dark roan flanks, the big, turgid udder that would give no more milk. "I'm sorry," I said. "I'm afraid her heart must have given out before the magnesium had a chance to work."
"Oh, it's a bloody shame," grunted Stan. "She was a right good cow, that one."
Mr. Alderson turned quietly back to the car.
"Ah, well, these things happen," he muttered.
We drove down the field to the house.